Hey there, welcome to another Radio Fishin', and this is Fishin' Frank. It's December 16th, 2013, and it's a Monday, and it's been a long weekend. I've got special guests today, Mallory, the sports writer, her husband Andrew, the Tarzan of shark fishing. I mean, this is going to be very interesting. They had a little fishing trip, but how are you guys doing today?
We're doing good.
A bit sore.
Yeah. Andrew's recovering from last night.
Well, you've had a long weekend. I mean, Saturday, you guys been going at it pretty good all weekend. What was up?
Saturday, we set out to Boca Grande with a guy we met here, Barry. Tried to take him out to catch a shark. We were unsuccessful.
That doesn't sound like you guys. It
was very slow. Sometimes the sharks are on a night bite. Sometimes they'll only eat at night. Sometimes they'll only eat during the day. Sometimes it doesn't matter. You just have to
keep looking.
Exactly. So keep fishing. Find out.
You guys went out for the day and nothing happened, huh?
No, Barry managed to get a small Spanish mackerel, which we put right back out because, you know, fresh is better. And we didn't see anybody down there catch anything. I couldn't believe how slow it was. Beautiful day.
The water was gorgeous. Nice and hot.
It got a little sloppy out there water-wise, which is usually good for the sharks. The worse it is for the kayaker, the better the sharks like it. And we couldn't get anything.
So packed it in, decided to come over to my house.
Yep, to your party.
Yeah, we had a little birthday party for me and Christmas party for the store, which was kind of a surprise for me. First birthday party I've had in a long, long time. So that was kind of surprising. Interesting night, late night. And so after all that, and you guys, what happened Sunday that all of a sudden you guys ended up going fishing again on Sunday?
I think Mallory's frustration finally boiled over. That was like, I think Saturday was our fourth trip with nothing. And we've had a really good run prior to that. I don't think we'd had a trip without catching at least something for a couple months.
And I hadn't caught a shark over 5 feet since October. So I was
jonesing
pretty
bad.
Yes, I needed to get out there.
She had the shakes.
Okay. So Mallory's home. You're at the rifle range from what I understand. You said you got some hunting trips coming up?
Yeah, we've been trying to get Aiden his first hog. Josh has been taking us, so I went out and I tried to con them into going to the range, but they were all pretty, they were dragging a bit
from
your party.
We were tired, yeah.
The kid included, because he got to stay up late with the sitter.
So how did it end up a fishing trip?
I text him and I'm like, Andrew, come on, let's go. We'll just go. It sunsets at, 5:30. We can be home by 9. Let's just try. Let's try. Let's go out there, bribing him. And I go, all I want for Christmas, baby, is a shark.
Yeah. She pulled the Christmas card.
Well, there's worse problems to have than a wife who just really wants to go out fishing.
I agree. And that's how we ended up going. If it'll save me from going to the mall, then I'm in.
So, guys, when you're thinking about this and you're looking at that, Andrew has got to be one of the luckier guys. His wife says, no, I don't want to go to the mall. I don't need to go to the mall. I want to go fishing. So you guys ended up going out where?
Boca Grande Pass.
And so what do you guys do to get ready for these fish? You got a whole setup?
Well, yeah, Andrew loads everything in the kayak in the back of our truck. He works the hardest getting us fresh bait, throwing that big cast net.
So what bait did you end up with?
We heard they were eating on the mullet, so I had some frozen mullet, but I wasn't too happy with it, so we made a pit stop on the way out, hit two spots, couldn't buy a mullet either, so I had these old, wore-out mullet. We get up there, I gotta be honest, I was complaining and not happy the whole way there. I wasn't buying into it. I knew it was gonna be chilly, and
with the cold front coming, you never know if that's going to make the fish eat, if that's going to make them leave. You never know.
Luckily, as soon as I got the nasty frozen mullet dropped and I put on my headlamp and I turn around and I see a big silver wad in the water. And then we ended up with a net full of probably 30 row mullet.
And even the Boca Grande Ranger got some.
Yeah, started shark fishing and got his first shark last week. So
yeah,
we
so
were
he
more,
was really excited.
We happily donated a bunch to him, and after that, it was just on.
We reeled up really quick so we could put the fresh bait out, because fresh is always better. But don't knock frozen. Andrew caught his first sharks on frozen mullet he bought here, actually, and everyone made fun of him all night. Oh, that's an awful bait. You're not going to catch anything. He was the only one to catch. So it's what they're eating, what's in the area right now.
And not only that, but I call frozen bait live bait insurance.
Yeah.
You're never going to catch a fresh bait unless you have something frozen with you. It's like appeasing the gods.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you get that egotistical that, oh, I'll just go out and catch my bait.
Exactly.
The gods come and just smack you down.
Absolutely. We learned that from you. You and you're always preaching your frozen sardines and squid. You got to have it on the boat with you or you'll never catch live bait.
Yeah.
And we do it the same way.
Yeah.
It works. So anyway, you get out there, you got all your rods set up, they're in the holders, you brought them in, changed your baits out, throw them back out, fresh,
15.
Big chunks. How big is a chunk of mullet do you use?
Just like a big, last night we did like one big roe mullet and then a smaller one. So we kind of give the fish an option.
You use
the whole mullet. He was hooking them right like through the head.
Like about a 2 pound mullet, 3 pound mullet?
The smaller one was like, you know, 1 to 2 pounds, and the bigger one was the big 3-4 pound roe.
So you got a 3 or 4 pound whole mullet on the hook.
One of each on both rods.
Okay. So, all right. So what happened then?
About 15 minutes later, our first 80 wide started going off, and I was hooked up on the first Goliath grouper of the evening, which was smaller, about 100 pounds. And while we were de-hooking and taking pictures of that fish, we had the 50 wide go off, and we missed that one. Something like that, yep. Not that fast with a Goliath, though. They're kind of slow and steady.
So
wins
you had
the race.
You had your first Goliath grouper on, and what's it like bringing one of those in?
Well, it depends. The smaller ones are kind of more, they're quicker. They feel more like a shark. The bigger ones, they really pull a drag, but it's short, long bursts, and then they lay there. Like the second Goliath
let's talk about the first Goliath. What was the first Goliath? That was the short, hard burst or
I mean, he was, we couldn't, he gave us a good run in the beginning, and we were like, shark, is it a shark? Is it a Goliath? You never know at first. And then you see him float up as you're reeling him in.
So what did it turn out to be?
A Goliath.
Okay. Yeah. How big was he? A little one?
Yeah, he's about 100 pounds. Nothing to write home about.
Picture this, guys. I mean, his wife drags a fish. He gets a 100-pound fish. He goes, nothing to write home about. So, okay, you get the first one up. What happened then?
Well, I'm de-hooking him, and the 50-wide goes off. We had the second rod out, and thank God we didn't put three up.
Yeah, we only like to put as many rods out as people, because you don't want, if we would have put a third one out, it would have been going off. We would have been going nuts trying to take care of three rods, just the two of us.
So I get her to jump on the 50 wide and try and set up on it, and we were using all circles, and luckily that fish spit. So
lost that one.
Yeah, so she reset the anchor. I'm go back to de-hooking this one, and her rod goes off again, and she screws up and hooks it. So then it's the mad dash to get her in, get this fish off, and she's fighting it with no harness and no belt, so I can get her in her harness and belt. And
I'm like,
on
I'm just
going to
hold him here until you can bring me my stuff. And then I think we actually ended up losing that fish, too.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was the same. You know how the Goliath goes.
Right.
I think it's the same fish.
So you finally get the other one gone, and then you hook another fish.
Well, he goes out again, rebaits both, drops them both in the kayak. No more than 10 minutes later, we were sitting there talking, and we could watch the 80-wide rod just start bowing real slow. And you could see we knew that one was a Goliath, too, just how he was playing with it. And he would take the bait. And then he'd run, I mean, scream and drag, and then drop it. I mean, like a dog playing with a chew toy, kind of. That's how they harass our shark baits out there, like it's nobody's business. But eventually we got him hooked. One of the times he was playing with
How big was this one?
That one was 250, I'd say. Somewhere in there. He was bigger.
Yeah, you know, you got to work your way up. Start with those little 100-pounders and get up to a 250-pounder.
It's like stretching before a run.
Yeah, he was cool. He was my first Goliath that I released on my own. I'm learning like the take them out and release part. That's usually Andrew's job, but that was the first time I got to put my hand up them and drag them out. But I mean, the whole time I'm taking the picture. Oh, you didn't talk about the lemon. As we were resetting the baits before we caught the second Goliath, Andrew's in his kayak and he's washing off his hands. And he looks over, and there is a 6-7 foot lemon shark right in the wash, just looking at him. What are you doing?
So, if I'm understanding this right, he's in like 10 inches, 12 inches of water.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, there's a 7-8 foot shark. He's washing the fish stuff off his hands in the
exactly.
water.
Exactly.
Tips his head up, and the light shines a 7-8 foot shark in 6 inches of water wallowing across like it's trying to belly walk its way up to you.
Yeah, he had it out for me. I don't know what his deal was.
He was checking us out. He was a very curious shark, and we pitched a bait right at him, and he took off. He was like, no. And then
he was more interested in catching you than you catching
him. Yeah. It sure seemed that way, yeah. And it made me really uncomfortable because I had just walked in from there. You know, that's where I launched the kayak, released the fish, and it was murky, and he's the same color as that murky water. And
I mean, when I was taking my photos with the bigger Goliath, I'm kneeling in this water, my feet behind me, going, okay. The sand would wash, and something would hit my foot, and I would jump like, this lemon shark's out there. Don't bite my foot.
He was feeding though, because I pitched the bait at him and he turned off it initially, so we reeled it up and I threw it back out by hand while we were screwing around, and sure as hell he came back and drilled it, and I know it was him because when
I watched him eat on the surface,
when I went to go tighten that drag on the circle, he came up to the top and he was blowing it up at the surface with the bait in his mouth. We never ended up landing him, but that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before out there.
A feisty lemon.
Sorry, I just couldn't resist.
I love it. It's the perfect. Music.
Anyway, so you finally did catch some sharks.
We did. We finally get these Goliaths back in their home, and Andrew drops again. We decided to drop short. The Goliaths were hitting further out, our longer drops, which aren't long at Boca Grande Pass. He only goes out about 30 yards there, right to the end of the old phosphate docks. And we were dropping half that distance. I mean,
for the sharks, we weren't even dropping.
Yeah.
I'd given up dropping because anything.
By dropping, you mean take the boat, take the kayak, put the baits in it, paddle out with the kayak, and drop them overboard.
Exactly.
So you were just standing on the shore now, just casting them out.
Yeah, well,
throwing
pitching
them. Yeah,
just throwing it. Probably, I don't know, well, our leaders are with the wind on, 40 feet? So, I don't know, 60 feet off the beach?
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Yeah, it's a lot closer than it sounds right here. People don't realize, but... Yeah.
We don't usually catch sharks that way either. I mean, it's very uncommon to...
You want to get them out a little bit further.
Exactly, just a little bit further than that. But we heard that they were in close, and that's exactly what we did. And it wasn't before too long. Andrew was hooked up on the bigger sandbars of the night. She was almost 7 feet, right?
Yeah, I think 6'9", if I remember. Yeah, 6'9".
Yeah, that's a nice fish. That's a couple hundred pounds.
Yeah.
200 to 300 pounds of shark, isn't it?
Yeah, they were stocky. They were both real good, healthy, stocky, mean females.
Yeah, and then so as Andrew is with his fish, and I am, again, trying to take his picture, the 50 wide's going off. And this is the 50 wide that I bought at your Steal of a Deal sale, and this is yet to catch a fish. This will be the first fish on it, so I'm excited, and she's hooked, and she was mean. We had the other sandbar on the beach using the tail rope, so Andrew is down there grabbing the shark that is just hooked in the corner of the mouth, bare hands, tail, trying to drag her up the beach, but she was not having it.
No, she let me know. I got slapped 3 times pretty good.
Now, what did they slap you with?
Their tail.
Yeah, sounds like a gun going off.
And where'd you get hit?
Once in the calf and twice very nicely on the inside of my thigh. If it's ever happened to you, it's like getting smacked when your old man used to beat you with a leather belt.
Yeah.
That's exactly what except it cuts you.
Oh, man.
It skins you.
Yeah, well, just glad it wasn't a little taller tail.
Absolutely,
yeah. And I mean, we were really happy to get to tag both of these fish for Noah and send them on their way. We love tagging the sharks.
And so... But even with the Goliath group of the sharks, you guys catch them, bring them up, get them on the sand. You do measurements, but you actually report these to the scientific community.
Exactly.
And the sharks, you put the tags in, and then you walk them back out into the water.
Yes.
And I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting old, but I got to tell you.
You got to come out with us. But, you know, every time we take someone out with us, we don't catch anything. It's like this wicked curse. I'm trying to break it later this week. I have a guy coming from, he's in St. Pete, Tampa area. He's in from college. He's going to be staying in Boca Grande, and I promised him months ago we were going to take him out, so we're going to do that Friday.
So, anyway, Mallory is a sports writer, and she writes on fishandfranks.com on their blog. And so switch over to blog, go to the Frank's Report, which is going to say the Frank Mallory Report here very, very quickly as soon as I get back and change everything over. But we're going to have the blog report. You can see Mallory and pictures of Mallory out there and her husband, Andrew. And look for Mallory in several magazines throughout 2014. And I really appreciate you guys doing a radio fishing with me. It's been a lot of
fun. Love it.
So, anyway, guys, I think I'm hearing any last thoughts there, Andrew?
Get out there and go fishing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, as the music says, going fish, fish, fishing. But anyway, this is Fish and Frank. We got Mallory and her husband, Andrew, over here. And we'd like to thank you guys for listening. And we'll see you or we'll hear us or whatever it is on the next Radio Fishing. Thanks a lot for listening, guys. Bye-bye. Just to ease my mind.